Yesterday, Sayadawji described how when we apply effort to observe whatever arises within one's body, whatever object of observation arises, if we apply, starting with the rising and the falling, if we apply effort to observe the arising object while it happens, right when it happens, sati sticks to the object. And the mind doesn't run anywhere. It just stays with the object. This prevents kilesas from entering the mind. This is the function of sati. So the mind doesn't wander. And there's no sense desire. The obstacle of sense desire or kamachanda nivarana arising. The mind doesn't dwell on seeing good things, hearing good things, smelling, tasting, and touching, or desiring those things. The mind doesn't go to dwelling on those objects because sati is sticking to the object. And if every second that we are able to note, observe the arising object with accurate aim and effort, and sati, which sticks to the object, the mind is being developed. The mind which contains effort, virya, accurate aim, and sati, awareness. And this development of the mind that contains those factors is called bhavana. Bhavana doesn't mean making this type of mind occur only one time. It refers to both the initial, initially creating that mind and repeated development of it. So bhavana is said to be upadana. That means we make it arise. The mind that has effort, accurate aim, and sati. And then wotana. That means repeated development of the mind so that it becomes larger and larger and stronger. Bhavana is development of the wholesome mind, the good mind, which has virya, sati, and samadhi. In English, bhavana is translated very simply, maybe as meditation or mental development, but it is more than that. It is the development of the mind that contains these wholesome mental factors of virya, effort, sati, accurate aim, and samadhi. So our mental development of this mind with effort, sati, samadhi, and aim. If we have one each second, then we'll have 60 in a minute. And that means that in 1 hour, we'll have 3,600 units of this mental energy, this mind that contains effort, sati, accurate aim, samadhi. And in a whole day, you can imagine how much it would be. It would be over 50,000 moments. So in this group of mental components that make up this bhavana mind. When we develop ardent effort or ardent energy, this has the capability of overcoming laziness. And accurate aim, vitaka, makes the mind vibrant. It makes the mind fresh. And it makes the mind blossom. Due to the effort we make, sati sticks to the object. Sati prevents kilesas from entering the mind. It makes the mind secure. And because of that, the mind is collected on a single object. So we have collectedness of mind. And in particular, we're free of the desire for sense pleasures, the obstacle of kamachanda, nivarana. We're free of the desire to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch good things. So with this mind occurring every second, there are three levels of effort involved. The initial effort we make, then boosted up effort or stepped up effort, and then finally effort to go all the way to the goal. So one who possesses these three types of effort is called a yogi. The literal meaning of yogi is described as bhavanaya yota payotataya yogi. So it means one who is engaged in the development of the mind in this wholesome way, using both initial effort, so at the and once we've started practice, at first, the benefits, the results that come have not yet appeared. So we might slack off. We might tend to be lazy. And at that point, we have to continue our effort and step it up. So we have to have boosted effort at that point. And that is called nekama dhatu. That's the second level of effort that a yogi possesses. And from there, well, we should have a goal. What are we working for? We want to become a true good person. So we have to, we have the desire to keep on making effort until we make that, until we reach that goal. And this effort that doesn't give up until we reach the goal is called parakama dhatu. It just takes us further and further. It doesn't slack off. So these three levels of effort are what a yogi must possess: initial effort, stepped up effort, and culminating final effort. A yogi possesses these three stages of effort. So the word yogi is made up of the word yoga and the suffix -e, yogi. And yoga is the effort that we make: initial effort, stepped up effort, and culminating effort or progressive effort. When we start out, we have to have firm determination to try to catch all the objects arise. When we're walking, everything is included in what we need to observe. The only time that we do not have to be trying to be mindful is when we are asleep. The rest of the time, whether we're walking, whether we're standing, sitting, or lying down, we need to be trying to apply our mind to observe the arising object when it's happening. In walking, to keep our mind on every single step. When we're standing, sitting, lying in down too, whatever we are doing, we should have our mind on the action. We have to, with this determination to catch them all, we have to make effort to get sati, to reach the object when the object is still fresh. And we have to have accurate aim. So at first, even though we make effort, we don't get very far. But eventually, sati will stick to the object. So even though it may not have happened yet, we have to have this determination to try to catch every single object. Without this type of determination, one won't make the necessary effort. And without effort, nothing special is going to happen in the practice. It depends on effort. So it's very important for the yogi to have full confidence in the practice and a strong desire to get the benefits that come from it. Sayadawji sees some yogis who walk with their head pushed forward instead of up with their neck straight. And sometimes yogis are maybe walking somewhere, but their hands are doing something else. So their legs are walking, but their hands are doing another thing. So if you have to do something while you are walking, it's best to stop, stand, do the thing while you're standing, and then resume walking. Only do one thing at a time. If you are doing two things at a time, then your mind will be going back and forth between these things, and it will be confusing. So one needs to work respectfully, taking meticulous care and trying to be as continuous as possible. Every moment that we make effort and are trying to accurately aim the mind, we are having some sort of gain. We're having a profit or a gain at that moment. If we don't make effort, we're going to have a loss in that moment. So it's either gain or loss all the time. And we have to try to make as much profit as we can in doing the practice. And therefore, we need to be respectful with taking meticulous care with the practice and working continuously. People who understand quite well the benefits of the Satipatthana practice cherish the practice. If one doesn't know the benefits, one won't cherish and revere the practice. One who cherishes the practice practices with great care. If one doesn't know the benefits of the practice and therefore doesn't cherish it, one may just be sort of trying things out, but that's not enough. One needs to make effort. So one needs to, first of all, cherish the practice and have desire for the benefits. With that ardent energy, a strong effort will arise. Only with energy, ardent effort, will sati arise. Otherwise, if the effort is not sufficient, sati will not arise. Only when sati arises will there be samadhi, collectedness of mind. Sati makes the mind stick to the object, and that permits samadhi to arise. If sati is not there, samadhi won't be there either. And sati depends on our effort. Samadhi must be there for knowledge to develop. If it's not there, knowledge won't develop. So it all boils down to our effort. Right now, we are just trying to collect our mind, to make it collected, and to overcome the nivaranas, the obstacles to concentration. If the mind becomes collected on a single object, on the object that is arising at the moment, then kilesas can't enter one's mind stream. Instead of kilesas arising in our mind, there's virya, effort, sati, awareness, samadhi, collectedness of mind. These take the place of kilesas. And therefore, the obsessive defilements, the pariyotana kilesas, cannot arise in one's mind. If they do, one knows it right away and is able to dispel it by observation. So this is when one practices respectfully. One develops these mental powers. If there's no respectful practice, then one doesn't know when kilesas, mental defilements, arise. And samadhi will not develop. Without samadhi, there won't be any knowledge. Sierraji wants the yogis to develop knowledge in a short time. And now, there's 1 week already finished in the retreat because we started June 1st and today is the 7th. Some yogis were practicing carefully, meticulously, respectfully, have probably perceived or discerned the nama and rupa by this point. Those who practice lightly, however, without serious effort, without trying to become, without being meticulous, these people will not be able to develop samadhi, and therefore knowledge will also not develop. When virya, sati, and samadhi are occurring one after another, consecutively, without a gap, and if they possess energy, then knowledge will develop. There will be observation, what we want to develop, the ability to observe the object with knowledge. Sayadawji said, noting, one eliminates ignorance. So when we can observe the object, that means virya, sati, samadhi, and knowledge are present, then we're eliminating ignorance. When we observe the rising, sometimes we are aware of stiffness. When the mind is concurrent with the object, when our aim is accurate, then the mind is occurring at the same time as the object, and then at that moment, the mind becomes collected, falling on the object, and at that time we know one of the qualities that is there. Only when the mind, first of all, there's effort and sati, and then the aim is accurate so that the mind can catch the object right at the right time, then the mind falls collectedly on the object. Only then will knowledge arise, so we'll know one of the qualities of the rising. Stiffness or tension, sometimes vibration. The main thing not knowing comes clean. So we eliminate ignorance when we are able to observe like this. So when virya, sati, and samadhi have full energy, one knows, knowledge starts to develop. And the main thing that we are observing in the rising and the falling is, and other main objects, is the element of air, vayodhatu. So when we know the characteristics, such as stiffness or tension, we're knowing what is really there, the way it is. Stiffness and tension are physical. Knowing this is mental. So one sees there's something physical and there's something mental happening. Very clearly, these two parts become evident. The physical, the object we observe, and the observation, the knowing, which is mental. And not just one, but a series of stiffness or a series of tension. And the mind that knows these, one clearly sees these. This type of seeing is one's own knowledge. Accurate aim and knowledge go together. Accurate aim supports knowledge. So these two make up the panya group, the wisdom group. And at that moment, when there's knowledge, the latent kilesas, the ones that lie dormant, anusya kilesas, are cut off. the factors of virya, sati, and samadhi, energy, mindfulness, and collectedness of mind, concentration, suppress the obsessive defilements, the pariyotana kilesas. And again, with accurate aim and knowledge, the latent kilesas, the anusya kilesas, are dispelled. When one observes the rising and is aware of a quality like stiffness, this is knowing the true nature, the sabhava of stiffness, which is really there, which really exists. This is knowing truly, not imagining. And this knowledge comes about because the mind has the object in focus. So this knowledge that arises dispels ignorance, just the way when light arises, it dispels darkness. Light arises and then darkness is dispelled. This is the first knowledge that one develops in the practice. With effort, mindfulness and concentration, virya, sati, and samadhi, we have the three factors of the samadhi khanda, the samadhi group. With accurate aim and knowledge, we have the two factors of the panya khanda, or wisdom group. At this moment, although we're not in the situation where we have to avoid transgressing, there's not any situation where we're about to transgress, but we have the intention not to commit misdeeds by way of body and speech. And this is called chetana sila, having the intention to keep morality. And this makes up the three factors of the sila group, sila khanda. So we have a total of eight factors. And this is the path to Nibbana. Of course, we haven't seen Nibbana yet, but this is the prior part of the path. It's called in Pali Pobhabhaga Mega, or the forerunner path. This path has to be developed before the noble path, Arya Mega, can arise. With our sila, we're overcoming the gross level of kilesas. And with virya, sati, and samadhi, we're suppressing the medium grade of kilesas. With aim, accurate aim, and knowledge, the subtle kilesas are being eliminated on a part-time basis. What we are doing when we practice and develop these eight factors is we are making the kilesas weak. And this is what we have to do in order for the noble path to arise. We have to make the kilesas weak, the mental defilements weak. And only then will Arya, the noble path, Arya Mega, be able eventually to arise. And at that point, one will realize the happiness of Nibbana. In order to gain this happiness of Nibbana, we are practicing now the earlier stage of the path that needs to be developed. If a yogi makes the effort to observe whatever arises within one's body, if one makes that concerted, determined effort when sitting to observe whatever arises, beginning with the rising and the falling, in walking, to doing the slow walking, for example, observing lifting, moving, placing, and at other times to observe whatever acts one performs, so these three parts, then kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, will arise. So it's said that samahito yatha bhutang pajanati. One whose mind is collected will see things clearly as they are. When one pays attention to observing whatever arises in all these parts of one's day, sitting, walking, and performing other acts, one will develop knowledge in stages. One is sure to develop this. When one puts one attention on the rising, one will observe the qualities of stiffness or tension, vibration that are there. When observing the falling, one will come to know the qualities that are present then of the abdomen collapsing, becoming relaxed, becoming still. One will become aware when observing sitting, the sitting posture, the stiffness of the spine, or whatever qualities one may feel, the touching, hardness, extension. When one does walking, when the foot lifts up, observing lightness or pulling, when the foot moves forward, pushing or pulling, putting the foot down, the foot becoming heavy and dropping, and so on. These types of things. When one opens one's eyes, closes the eyes, blinks the eyes, at each moment the mind will be falling collectedly on what is happening at that moment, and one will be knowing moment by moment. With determined effort, one will come to know naturally. One doesn't have to think about it or do any imagining. One just comes to know naturally. If one knows like this, that is, if one works respectfully, meticulously, and continuously, one will see things how they really are, and this is how the path is good in the middle. If one doesn't work respectfully, one has to, working respectfully means to not looking here and there. If one looks here and there as one is doing one's practice, whatever one is doing, one will lose one's mindfulness. One will be losing in that moment. And on top of that, if one doesn't keep the moral precepts that one needs to keep, one also will be losing, because one's physical and verbal behavior will not be clean. These gaps in one's mindfulness and gaps in one's sila make people dirty. And most are dirty at this point. And that's, Sayadaw said, that's all. In one's body, every time there's an action, everything that is done, every action we perform, there is mental and physical phenomena occurring in a pair. For example, in blinking the eyes or opening or closing the eyes, there's mental and physical phenomena occurring in a pair. Take the example of blinking. First of all, there's the intention to blink, the mind that intends to blink. And following that, there's stiffness, tightness, relaxation. This intention to blink is mental, nama. The stiffness, tightness, relaxation that comes about is rupa, or physical. If one observes carefully, one can feel that the eye becomes dry. When the eye is open, the eye becomes dry, and then it becomes tight, and then it's uncomfortable, and there's the desire to relieve that and the intention to blink. Then the blinking happens, bringing moisture to the surface of the eye, and there's relief. So one has the capability of becoming able to observe this tiny detail, all these tiny details. At first, one can't. One doesn't have the ability yet, but one has to nurture the mind that wants to try to catch every single action, try to catch every single arising object. One has to develop this type of mindset. One shouldn't lower one's sights. One should not lower one's aim. If we have the aim to try to catch every single arising object, whatever action it is that we make, with this aim, we will eventually be able to observe all the small details. It will come about naturally. So for today, that is all. Tomorrow, Seyoroji will explain how one who doesn't make ardent effort in the practice is involved in kilesas and therefore comes to lose their own welfare, and how one who makes ardent effort in the practice is free of kilesas and gains a lot of benefit. That's all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.